From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
I welcome you to our service. We pray that God will richly bless us as we gather round His precious word and hear His voice to our hearts. We're going to read the scriptures, Isaiah chapter 55, commencing to read at verse number 1. Isaiah 55, verse 1, read God's precious word. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. We end our reading. May God bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray together. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy and thy sacred presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy lovely Son, our Savior and Redeemer. We thank thee that thou didst so love us, that thou didst give thy only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We pray that as thy servant, Mr. Harris, comes to preach thy word, O God, I pray that thou wilt give him liberty and power in the Holy Ghost. We thank thee and we praise thee that we have a word to preach. And O God, I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt take of that word and that thou wilt write thy word upon our hearts. We pray for those who listen. Grant that each and every one will not only hear with the ear, but understand with the heart and come to know personally Jesus Christ as their Savior. Bless us now as we worship thee, as we sing thy praises for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want us to turn to the hymn 268. And we're going to sing the words of this hymn, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Let's worship God in song.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the Reverend McRae for leading the meeting for us and for the scriptures of truth that he read to us. I would like you to turn with me to those scriptures, to Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to take as our text for the service verse 6 and 7 of Isaiah 55. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. This lovely chapter of Isaiah, it's full of gospel invitation and gospel entreaty. It's included in the practical use of saving knowledge as one of the first scripture proofs of God's warrants for sinners to believe at the back of our confession of faith. I think it's a great encouragement that here we have in Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7, the first warrant that our confessional forefathers held forth as a ground for sinners to believe the gospel. That usage of the word warrant in the Westminster Confession, it just signifies the grounds or the hope for sinners to be saved upon. This is heaven's authorization for sinners to believe the gospel and to come to Christ. It's been issued by the judge of all men, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's served all over the world 24/7 by his ministers of the gospel. And with authority, they're sent to preach the word of the living God. And they've got the seal and they've got the signature of the supreme judge of all ages to add unto their message. So the first ground or the first warrant for sinners to believe is the fact that God has invited them to do so. This is the warrant that I want to serve in this gospel service. God has issued it. No man can rescind it, nor is there any get-out clause for you in it. And before heaven's courts, you are read in this meeting, and your response is called forth. Verse 1 at the commencement, records for us three times over that lovely word, come. Here we have the introduction to the gospel itself. This is the key to the rest of the whole chapter. Come, verse 1 to 5, that opening section. Then verse 6 and 7, at the very center of it all, of Isaiah chapter 55, we're taught how the gospel invitation is to be believed and received. So we have the word come. And people say, but how do we come? We come to verse 6 and 7, and here we're taught how we come to the Lord and how we believe on the Lord. And that's what I want to focus your attention upon in our time around the Word of God. How is this invitation that's so wonderfully set out for us in Isaiah chapter 55 to be believed? So firstly, notice with me from verse 6, the opening part of verse 6, the personal urgency of seeking after God. The natural man who's born in sin does not seek God by himself. Paul, quoting from Psalm 14 in Romans chapter 3, verse 11, he said, there's none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. What a leveler that is of all mankind. The Bible is plain and simple. Men, because of their sin, because of their love of sinning, and because of their addiction to sin, they do not seek after God. The very opposite, they run from God. They are estranged from him. So here's an urgent message from God to those that are listening to the gospel. You're not to rest complacently in your sin. You are personally to seek the Lord and to call upon his name. In verse 5, the prophet speaks of the Gentiles who would run to the Messiah. They had heard God call. They had responded positively. And now Isaiah wants to stir up his own people, his own Jewish people. And he said, why do you delay? Why do you linger whilst others are coming? Now is your time to seek the Lord. It's always good to hear of souls coming to the Lord from wherever in this world that we live in. Jesus said they would come from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. And they are coming, and they will come until all of God's number are safely gathered in. But God says to you today, this is your time to come. The Bible teaches us about the sincerity of seeking after God. Jeremiah spoke of this, Jeremiah 29:13. He said, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart." You have to have the sincerity of which Jeremiah wrote in that wonderful chapter. Unless you search for him with all your heart, your seeking is but in vain. So it's no trivial matter, men and women. This has the stamp of eternity upon it. If you do not seek God before that eternal day, all eternity will be too late for you. You'll never find him until you seek him wholeheartedly. You need to seek him now. The implication is very clear, because there's a time coming when he's not going to be found. Just consider for a moment what would happen if God were to take away the offer of grace and mercy. What would happen if God, the Holy Spirit, were to cease striving with the sinner? Would they ever find? Would they ever seek? If sinners seek, they must seek now. This is God's appointed time. And it's plain, there's a day coming that you'll seek him and he'll not be found. And when that day comes, you will forever be lost and taken from him. The Bible equally underscores the encouragement to seek him. Don't allow the present moment of grace to pass you by. Don't waste another moment in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who do seek him, the promise is reassuring. Again in Isaiah 45:19, "I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain." That's a wonderful promise of God. Nobody ever sought the Lord in vain. If God stirs a heart to seek him, and that heart seeks him sincerely, no seeking can ever be in vain. And Jesus gave the promise, the ultimate assurance, "Seek and ye shall find." Luke 11 and verse 9. And if you seek him now, he will be found of you. Secondly, consider with me how this invitation is accepted by prayerfully calling upon the Lord. We read in verse 6, the latter part, "Call ye upon him while he is near." Now, of course, we know from the Bible there's a general sense of calling upon the name of the Lord. We go back to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26, and we read about Seth. "To him also there was a son born, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." It's a sure evidence of divine grace to be numbered amongst those who call upon the name of Jehovah. We're part of a long line of saints. Saints such as Moses, saints such as Aaron and his priests and Samuel, but to name a few. But the greatest evidence of regeneration is those who call upon the Lord's great name. Are you numbered amongst them? Have you called upon his name as yet? The specific reference in Isaiah 55 and 6 is imploring God's mercy, calling upon God for grace, calling upon God for deliverance. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Joel chapter 2 and verse 32, the wonderful promise in the Old Testament prophets, the minor prophets, a theme that they love to major upon. They love to preach to their people and to tell them, call upon the name of the Lord, and if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be delivered. I remember as a young man, 16 years of age, God writing that text upon my heart. And God using that text, not in Joel 2 and 32, but as it's quoted in Acts chapter 2 and verse 21. "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's how it's all appropriated. That's how you personally make it yours. And I want to ask you, have you called upon him? If you haven't called upon him, you're still in the place of the condemned, outside of Christ and without the Saviour. No one else can save you. We're asking you to call upon the Lord's name. There's nobody else can take you to heaven but the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Well, Isaiah 55, of course, is part of that lovely section of Isaiah that deals with the servant Messiah. Chapter 53. Tells us all about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. We go back to Isaiah 53, verse 4. We read about the one who was smitten of God and afflicted. We're at the cross. We see the Saviour dying in her room and in her stead. Verse 5 informs us that it was for our transgressions that he was bruised, for nobody else's. Verse 6 tells us very plainly, the Lord, Jehovah, laid on him, his son, the iniquity of us all. There is the sinner's substitute, thereby the sinner's salvation, by his own death and bloodshedding on Calvary's rugged cross. Why do you call upon the name of the Lord? Because he's the one who did all the work for your salvation. Isaiah 53. Obtaining this salvation cost Christ everything. It cost him his life. It cost him his precious shed blood. It cost him everything. You just have to call upon him. The prophet adds, while he is near, under the preaching of the gospel, the Lord Jesus is always very near. And he's here with us as the word of God is sounded forth and as it is preached. The word is nigh thee. It's even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith that we believe. The Lord is near to us as we gather in his authority, in his name, and under the sound of his word. And don't pass him by. And don't let this moment of grace evade you. For you'll discover that if you miss that day of opportunity, you've missed heaven. You've missed eternity to come, but seize the moment and call upon the name of the Lord. Then notice with me how the invitation is accepted by penitent hearts. Penitent hearts. Verse 7. Israel had forsaken the Lord. Isaiah opens up with a dramatic description of the nation of Israel. And the picture is not pleasant. Isaiah 1 and 4, he said, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, a children that are corrupters. He did not miss the mark, the prophet Isaiah. And now they're called to forsake all that they loved. They're called to forsake their sin. And forsaking sin is repentance. And that call to repentance always, always accompanies the call of salvation. And it's outlined in verse 7 in three different simple ways. The wicked have to forsake their way of life. There's a way of the righteous. There is a way of the wicked. Psalm 1 and verse 6. You cannot continue on the way of the wicked, on the way of the ungodly, and journey to the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's an impossibility. Not only is repentance concerned with the outward life, repentance is concerned with the inward life. The thought life, what corruption, what sin is concealed in the heart of sinful men and women. And the Lord calls you to repent even of your very thought life and to turn to the Lord for cleansing. And those who turn to the Lord, they will obtain mercy. The word that is used here, where God will pardon, it means abundantly pardon. He'll give you pardon upon pardon. Every transgression pardoned and cleansed in his own precious, precious blood. There is pardon for those who will turn to him. He'll pardon the chiefest sinner. The very chiefest of sinners receive a pardon from Almighty God if you return unto him. And pardon is sweet. If you're on the condemned row and that note of pardon comes, there's nothing sweeter than all of time and eternity. In that note, you've been pardoned. God, for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, he will pardon you if you'll turn and you'll seek him and call upon him. And when you're pardoned, it's wonderful to know that the sentence has been remitted and the condemnation has been lifted. There's but one who can do such, and that is Christ. And when you call upon him, the Bible tells us that the curse is reversed. At the end of Isaiah chapter 55, we read, for those who call, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. God can reverse what sin has wrought in your life. God can make all the new changes. And that's what he does in the wonders of grace. And that's the invitation for you to come and embrace and believe and receive. How do you come? You come now. John Calvin's personal motto was, I offer my heart to you, Lord, promptly and sincerely. And I urge you, promptly and sincerely, give your heart to him now. And you'll find that he'll make all things new. and he'll reverse the curse and make you one with him for all of God's great eternity. Isaiah chapter 55 is a wonderful chapter of gospel entreaty. Verse 5 and 6 tells us how it's embraced and how it's appropriate. Heed the message. Turn to the Lord and call upon him while he is near. As we conclude, let's unite our hearts together in prayer and let's commit our time around the word of God to himself. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity to read the word of God and to preach its glorious truth. We pray that thou, by the Spirit of God, will bless it to those who have heard today, in a saving manner to those that have not as yet called upon the name of the Lord and trusted in Christ, and even in a sanctifying manner to those who name the name of the Lord. May we see others come and put their faith and trust in Christ. We commend our way to thee, and we pray and we seek the blessing of Almighty God upon the going forth of the gospel in this meeting. Hear us now, we beseech thee, and depart us in thy fear and with thy favour, watching over us until we meet again, or until Jesus comes or calls, in whose name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.